The girls weren't entirely clear what was in the paint. Flummoxed by her doctor's questions, Catherine turned to her colleagues, and when she told them what her physician had said, they became frightened. En masse, they confronted Mr. Savoy, who tried to allay their fears, but this time his words about the paint being harmless fell on deaf ears. And so, as any middle manager would do, he went to his managers. Soon after, George Willis came over from New York to lecture the girls on radium and convince them it was not dangerous. Von Sochotsky also participated. There was nothing hazardous in the paint, the doctors promised. The radium was used in such a minuscule amount that it could not cause them harm. And so the girls turned back to their work, their shoulders a little lighter, Catherine probably feeling a bit sheepish that her teenage spots had caused such bother. Her skin cleared up, and so too did the minds of the dial painters. When one of the greatest radium authorities in the world tells you that you have no need to worry, quite simply, you don't. Instead, they laughed about the effect the dust had on them. "Nasal discharges on my handkerchief," Grace Fryer remembered, "used to be luminous in the dark." One dial painter, known as a lively Italian girl, painted the material all over her teeth one night before a date, wanting a smile that would knock him dead. Those budding romances of the girls were now coming into full flower. Hazel and Theo were as close as ever, and Quinta started courting a young man called James MacDonald. But it was May Cubberley who became a winter bride on 23rd of December, 1917. As was traditional, she wanted to leave work right away, but Mr. Savoy asked her to stay a little longer, so she was still in the studio when Sarah Mylifer signed on that same month. Sarah was a little different to the other girls. For a start, she was older at 28, a shy, matronly woman who often seemed a little separate from the teenagers, though they were inclusive of her. Sarah was broad-shouldered, with short, dark hair, and those shoulders needed to be broad, for she was also a single mother. She had a 6-year-old daughter, Marguerite, named after Sarah's little sister. Sarah had married back in 1909. Her husband, Henry Mylifer, was a tall French-Irish sexton with black hair and black eyes. But Henry had disappeared. Where he was now, nobody knew. And so Sarah and Marguerite still lived with her mom and pop, Sarah and Stephen Carlo, as well as her sister Marguerite, who was 16. Stephen was a painter and decorator, and the family were hard-working, reasonable people. Sarah, too, was hard-working and would become one of the most loyal employees the radium company had. For May Cubberley Canfield, however, her loyalty had come to an end. Soon after she married, she fell pregnant and therefore handed in her notice in the early months of 1918. That chapter of her life was over. Her place was quickly filled. That year, an estimated 95% of all the radium produced in America was given over to the manufacture of radium paint for use on military dials. The plant was running at full capacity. By the end of the year, 1 in 6 American soldiers would own a luminous watch, and it was the Orange Girls who painted many of them. Jane Stocker, nicknamed Jenny, was a new recruit, and in July, a slim, elfin-featured girl called Helen Quinlan joined. She was an energetic woman, whom the company rather sniffily described as the type that did altogether too much running around for her own good. She had a boyfriend she often brought to the girls' picnics, a smart, blonde young man who wore a shirt and tie to the gatherings. He and Helen posed for a picture at one of them. Helen had her skirts flapping around her knees, always on the move, while he stared at her rather than the camera, looking utterly besotted with this playful creature he had somehow been lucky enough to meet. The women were still encouraging their families to join them in their work. In September 1918, Catherine wrote proudly, I obtained a position for Irene at the factory. Irene Rudolph was her orphan cousin, the same age as Catherine. She lived with the Sharps.